My privilege to turn the service over to our brother Mark Shelley.
Thank you, Bill. Good morning. So good to see you here today. It's a privilege to stand before you and begin by welcoming you, but also wishing you a happy Labor Day. Happy Labor Day. It's a day early, but hope you have a really good Labor Day. Maybe you want to spend it up at Mountaintop, or maybe you have some other plans. Labor Day was initially associated with the labor unions. I don't want to get into that, but really it's kind of morphed into really a holiday, as I see it anyway, that's in acknowledgement of the workforce, for all that the workforce of our nation has done and continues to do to make our country prosperous and strong. So look out at you this morning, and I wonder what your job is. Well, I don't have to wonder. Most of you, I know what your job is. Not everybody. Some of you, your job is to be retired, I think, from your job. But even the folks that are retired, from what I find from talking to retired people, they say they're busier than they were when they worked. How do they ever have time? So maybe your job is going to the doctor or something. I don't know. Maybe your job is selling a product or a service. Maybe it's manufacturing a product. Maybe you represent a company in some way, or you are in management, or you work in an office, or you work in a bank, or I'm looking around you. Set off weather balloons. We got some. I wish we had time to just go around and talk about maybe your job is a caregiver, or maybe your job is raising your child or your children. Maybe your job is fighting your cancer. Maybe your job is plumbing or electrical or being a student. We don't have time to get everybody's job in there, but maybe you are an employer or an employee. Maybe you are an entrepreneur. Maybe you work for a large corporation. Maybe you're looking for a job right now. I don't know, but whatever, I would like to wish you a happy Labor Day. You know, God created human beings to work. Your labor is your work, or you might say your job, it's your employment. For most people, it's a way that we get income to provide for ourselves and for our families, and hopefully to help others as well. You know, God Himself is a worker. We're going to be looking this morning, if you're looking for a text, it's going to be in the book of Proverbs, chapter 14. But before we get there, you're welcome to go ahead and turn there in your Bible if you would like. But kind of leading up to that, just this idea that God works. In Genesis 2:2, we read that on the seventh day, God ended His work, which He had done, and He rested on the seventh day from all His work which He had done. Now, that was a particular job, a particular project, we might say, that God was taking upon Himself. God is still working. He's still working. He made Adam, and of course, from Adam, He made Eve, and God gave Adam and Eve a job. In that same chapter, in verse 15, we read that the Lord God took the man that He had made. Genesis 1, 27 and 28 tell us that He created man in His own image. In the image of God, He created him, male and female, He created them. And then in chapter 2 and verse 15, we read that the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to sit back and do nothing but watch TV and play video games and watch the animals walk around. You know that's not how it goes. No, He put him in there to tend the garden and keep the garden. He gave Adam and Eve a job to do. Actually, their job was a lot bigger than that. Their job was to have dominion over all of creation and to subdue it and also to multiply and fill the earth. Of course, raising those children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. But, you know, they had a job even in utopia. Think about that. the perfect environment. And you think, the perfect environment's got to include not working, right? I mean, it couldn't be the perfect environment if you have a job. No, the perfect environment, God created it, and they had a job. And I'm going to suggest that in heaven, we're going to be working, we're going to be serving, we're going to be rejoicing and worshiping. It's going to be a wonderful time. I don't know what all we're going to be doing, but I believe we'll be working. But you know, that perfect environment was messed up. It got messed up. It wasn't messed up initially. But that utopia was negatively impacted by Adam and Eve when they chose to sin, when they chose to disobey God, when they chose to go their own way. And in Genesis 3, we read that God said to Adam, "Cursed is the ground for your sake. Listen to this. In toil you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Both thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you. And you shall eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of your face you shall eat bread till you return to the ground." So God is saying work is a good thing. God gave work, but then sin came in, and sin, the choice to go our own way rather than God's way as the human race, negatively impacted everything about our lives. Yes, our bodies that get sick. Yes, our jobs that are difficult and that involve toil and involve sweat as we work in a cursed world in order to try to make enough money to provide for ourselves and our families. And also to help our employer, to help, hopefully, our community and our culture. But God, don't you love those words in the Bible, "but God"? That's so important. If we stopped right here, it would be a sad, sad story. It's sad enough, but God is a redeeming God. To redeem means to buy back, to purchase back. And we see that God is a redeeming God, and He has provided redemption. Redemption for us. Why? Because He wants to buy us back. Why? So we can be His slaves. So we can be His servants. So we can be fulfilled in serving Him. But I'd say beyond that, I know beyond that, that we could have a relationship with Him. He designed Adam and Eve not just to work, but to have a relationship with Him. And He desires that you and I have a relationship with Him. And so therefore, He made redemption possible through His Son, the Lord Jesus, who came and was not marred by sin, and who never sinned. And He worked, by the way. You know, He was a carpenter. Mark chapter 6 tells us that. He was a carpenter. He worked. He worked in a sin-cursed world. He had relationships in a sin-marred world. But He came and never sinned, never responded in unrighteous anger, never envied, never lied, never cheated anybody in His work. Lived a perfect life. And therefore, He was able to pay the redemption price for you and for me and for everyone. He gave Himself, His blood. We are redeemed by His blood, Paul writes to the Ephesians and the Colossians. Redeemed by His blood, purchased back to God by His blood, the one who died for our sins and rose again that we could be declared right before God. And if you've heard this a million times, I hope you're rejoicing and saying, "I can't wait to hear it the million and first time," because it doesn't get old if you've received the Lord Jesus, if you've trusted Him, if by grace, that gift of God through faith, not of works. If you have received the Lord Jesus and trusted Him as your Savior, then the Bible says you have been made a new creation. And God not only redeems people, I would suggest that God redeems their jobs. He redeems everything about you. He buys it back. He makes something good out of what has been made bad by sin. Doesn't mean He makes it easy, but He gives it purpose. Our text this morning is Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 23. And verse 23, if you're familiar with the Proverbs, you know that they are sayings of wisdom that don't necessarily have anything specific to do with the verses right around them, and therefore we can go in and pull a verse out and not be taking it technically out of context. So we're going to look at verse 23, particularly the first half of this verse. As Solomon in his wisdom writes, "In all labor there is profit, but idle chatter leads only to poverty." So he's contrasting here work with laziness, basically, just talking about work. And some people say, well, that's my job to talk. Well, maybe that is your job, but it's still work. And it's interesting here, as we read this word labor, the word labor there literally means toil. That's interesting to me because back in Genesis chapter 3, we read that God said that, "Adam, when you work now, there's going to be toil involved." He was already working. But now there's going to be toil. That word also means pain. This word labor right here, it means pain. And some of you ladies are saying, all you moms probably are saying, that's why they call it labor when you're having a child, because there's pain involved. It means hurt. It means sorrow. It means hardship. So that is the way that sin has impacted our jobs. Now, some of you might be sitting out there saying, hey, or maybe I say one of you may be sitting out there saying, hey, I don't know what you're talking about. Man, I love my job. I'd rather do my job than anything. Maybe there's more than one saying that, but maybe your motive is something that will be exposed this morning. I don't know, but maybe not. Maybe you've been blessed in that way, with a job where you don't sense any toil or sorrow or hardship or difficulty or the sweat of your brow or any other difficulty in that. But that's probably unlikely. In fact, it's interesting. Solomon, the king of Israel, who wrote these words, at this point in his life, he could write this by the Spirit of God, "In all labor there is profit." In every job there is profit. And the word profit there really means abundance, plenty, or even superiority. Remember that, superiority, but abundance. So in all labor there's benefit in that. But listen to what he said in Ecclesiastes chapter 2 and verse 11. And if you study the book of Ecclesiastes, you know that Solomon is also the author of that book, but he wrote it at a very different time in his life, a very dark time in his life. A time when we read that he looked at everything under the sun from the human perspective. And here's what he said about work in Ecclesiastes 2:11. "Then I looked on all the works that my hand had done, and on the labor in which I had toiled. And indeed, all was vanity and grasping for the wind. There was no profit under the sun." Same man writing these things here. At one point in Proverbs, he says, "In all labor there is profit." And now, as he has drifted away from God, is he has drifted away from seeing things as God sees them, and he's looking at them from a purely human perspective, marred by sin. He said, "I look at all I've done, all my toil, it was a big waste. It was empty. There is no profit in that." Two different ways of looking at the same thing, our jobs. You know, there are a variety of profits, you might say, that go along, that could be taken from this verse. In all labor there is profit, but I'd like for us to look particularly at one, what I think is very impressive profit of your job, no matter what your job is, and that is worship. Those of you who have been with us during this year know that our theme for the year is to worship more. in 2019. We're trying to really encourage ourselves in worship. And so the first Sunday of every month, we are looking at another aspect of worship. And so this morning I would like for us, springing off of Proverbs 14:23, in all labor there is profit. And I would like for us to think about worshiping more in your job. In your job. It ties in well with Labor Day, this celebration, if you want to call it that, or acknowledgement of work. But to think about worshiping in your job. And we have thought about worship throughout this year under this with this definition of worship being taken from the Hebrew word and the Greek word that are most often translated worship. They both mean to bow down, to kneel down. So we are taking the definition that worship is to recognize, acknowledge, and express God's infinite superiority. That idea of bowing down presents the fact that God is great, that He is greater than us, and as we know God, that He is greatest, that He is infinitely superior to us and to all and to everything. And so when we recognize that, first of all, you can recognize it and not really be worshiping. You can even acknowledge it and not be worshiping. But I would suggest that true worship is when we not only recognize and acknowledge it and say it's true, but we express it in some way. One way that you can express that to God is through your job. And I want us to look this morning, and I'm going to bite off, I've already bit off more than I can chew. So we'll just see what we can do. I've got six ways that you can worship more in your job. And so I'm going to try to hurry through those things. So here's one way that you can worship more in your job. It's to evaluate your job perspective. Evaluate your job perspective. So I'll start out with a question. How do you currently view your job? What's your current perception of your job? Now, I'm going to start out with two extremes, okay? And maybe you're in the middle somewhere. Here's the two extremes. The first one is that it's all that matters. My job is all that matters. It's the most important thing that I do. You know, really, when I ask you, tell me about yourself, the first thing, if you say, tell me what you do for your job, then that doesn't mean it's all that matters to you, but it means it's up there pretty high. It's one of our identifying features, maybe the identifying features. But there are people who say, you know, my job is all that matters. There are other people on the other end, and they say this, my job doesn't matter at all. It really doesn't matter. I mean, it puts food on my table, but there's no meaning, there's no purpose to my job. Now, maybe you're somewhere in between that. I would suggest that neither of those views is a true viewpoint for a believer, nor is it a healthy viewpoint. And obviously, if it's not true, it's not healthy. Well, how does God view your job? However you currently view your job, yeah, it's okay. You know, I'm glad I got a job. I'm thankful for it. Or I love to get up and go to work in the morning, and I can't wait to get to be with my coworkers. I don't know how you view your job. You have to answer that in your own mind, in your own heart. But what about God's perspective? How does God see it? I want to suggest that your job does matter. And it matters to God. It matters to Him in Colossians 3:17. God has Paul write this, and whatever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. So what does that say about your job? Oh, that says that if you know the Lord Jesus as Savior, then that God is saying to you, whatever you do, whatever you say, when you go to work, whatever your job is, whatever verbal skills it requires, or whether you never speak a word or hear a word from anyone, whatever you do, do it in the name, not just of your company. Not even just in your own name, but in the name of the Lord Jesus. In other words, as a believer in the Lord Jesus, you represent Him when you work. in your workplace, whether that's in your home, or whether that's in a skyscraper, or whether that's out on the in the field, or wherever that might be, wherever your job is, it matters to God how you do your job, and that you do it in the name of His Son, and that you give thanks. Well, we could stop the sermon right there, couldn't we? Spend the rest of the time just praying, God, make me thankful for my job. Help me to be thankful. There's another verse I put up here, 1 Corinthians 10:31. Therefore, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Do all to the glory of God. Your job matters to Him, even if it doesn't matter to anybody else. Even if your spouse does not want to hear you talk about your job when you get home. Even if you have the most boring job in the world, even if you have one of those jobs that's probably beyond the dirtiest jobs, is that what they call it, dirtiest jobs that show on TV? Maybe your job would be on that. And you say, it doesn't matter. It matters to God because you're doing the job and He wants you to do it in the name of His Son and He wants you to do it for His glory. God knows how your job is impacting the economy of the United States of America. God knows. Maybe nobody else cares or even thinks about it. God knows. He knows how it's affecting other people. He knows how it's affecting our culture socially. He evaluates it from an eternal perspective, a perspective that is infinitely superior to ours. And you can worship by evaluating your job perspective and making sure that your job perspective is God's job perspective. Do you view your job as having an eternal impact? God says it does. Have you ever thought about your job having an eternal impact? God says your job has an eternal impact. So maybe we need to reevaluate our job perspective. God says it has an eternal impact. Well, here's the second way we can worship more in our jobs. That's to exalt your job boss. Now, you might say, hey, I think he or she is already plenty exalted, you know. I don't think we need to be lifting them up anymore. Maybe bring them down a little bit. They definitely don't need that. Now, as employees, we find in the Scripture that we are to respect those who are in any authority over that. That includes our boss. But, you know, what I'm thinking here is that your true boss is not that man or woman who says he or she is your boss. Now, they are. If you're in that, you may be the boss. But even if you're the boss, who's the true boss? It's the Lord Christ. That's the true boss. You might remember that bumper sticker. I remember it. It said, my boss is a Jewish carpenter. You remember seeing that? I think that's kind of old. Maybe it's still out on the internet now. I don't know. Maybe it's still in the back of your car. I'm not commenting on the age of your car. If it's still on there, that's good. I'm glad that you're hanging in there. You're keeping a mechanic. You know, you're giving them a job, so that's good. Colossians chapter 3. We read there, as we do often in the New Testament, about bond servants, about those who were servants or slaves, and a high percentage of the Roman Empire were slaves. A lot of the economy back in that day was kept going by household servants, or even servants who ran the business, it might be, for his or her master. And so I think we can take a lot of what's said about the relationship of servants to masters, and we can make an application to our jobs. Colossians chapter 3 is addressing bond servants. He says, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, not just when they're looking, but in sincerity of heart, fearing God. And whatever you do, heartily as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance. And catch this last phrase, for you serve the Lord Christ. Lord means master. If you are a believer in the Lord Jesus, if you have received Him as your Savior, then He is your boss, truly and ultimately. And if you are the boss, you keep reading and you get through the end here of chapter 3 in Colossians, going to chapter 4 and verse 1. Masters, give your bondservants what is just and fair, knowing that you also have a master in heaven. You see, the CEO is only so high. There's one above him. There's one above her. It's the Lord Christ. He is over all. And so we're to exalt Him. We're to exalt the Lord Christ with the way that we work. Our job quality should be the best that we are capable of producing. Our attitude should honor Him. If the people where you work, or the people with whom you work, know you're a believer, would they say that your work, your attitude, your what you say and what you do, would they say that it exalts God? My heart of worship should come out. My prayer, even silently as I do my work, should include worship to God. Do you do your job? Do I do my job as if Christ is our boss? Because He is. He is. And so if I'm getting by with something, and I've been there, if I'm getting by with something on my job, ultimately I'm not just cheating my direct employer. I'm cheating my ultimate job boss. Do I do my job as if Christ is my boss? If I do, that's a way to worship more in my job. Well, here's another one. Here's a way to worship more in your job. Express your new job self. Express your new job self. How do you express yourself at work? You know, there are many ways that you might express yourself at work, depending on what kind of work you have. But one way to express yourself at work, if you work for a company that requires you to wear a uniform, you're saying to everybody who sees you, I work with boom. Whatever that little tag says, whatever that embroidered patch says on your shirt or on your hat or whatever, you're saying, here's who I am. I am a worker for this company. Or maybe you're an employee of a company that does not require a uniform. Still, I would suggest that oftentimes your clothing says something about what's important to you in your job. Maybe you're dressing to impress a client. Or maybe you're dressing to be safe because you're in an unsafe environment. You wear a hard hat and you wouldn't wear it normally, but you do, and you have steel in the toes of your shoes, possibly. Or maybe you dress to be comfortable, or maybe you dress to advertise a product or even a team. Something has nothing to do with your work. Well, how about your new job self? Now, I don't mean your new job, like capital new, capital job, and then yourself. I'm not saying you have a new job. Maybe you do. Congratulations. Maybe you're looking for one. I'll pray that you'll find one. But what about your new job self? Your new self. When you trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, if you have, as we mentioned earlier, 2 Corinthians 5:17, you were made a new creation. You put on, Ephesians 4:24 says, the new man, the new person, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. And there in Ephesians chapter 4, where we read those words, we find that it affects our speech, the way we handle disagreements, our attitude toward other people, and yes, Ephesians 4:28, it affects our job. When we labor, working with our hands, there's another aspect of this new job sale, because it's not just you. Romans 13, 14 gives a command to those who know the Lord Jesus as Savior. Put on the Lord Christ. Put on the Lord Christ. He should be, as it were, our uniform as a believer. Whatever company we work for, whatever kind of job we do, whatever industry we're a part of, whatever our end goal is in working, we should all be dressed in the clothing that is the Lord Christ. And what people should see is the Lord Jesus when they see us. Now, I don't mean that you dress like you think Jesus dressed and necessarily wear sandals and a robe. I mean, if you want to, that's fine. You know, it might be comfortable, kind of hard with the steel-toed business. But you know, if you want to wear that, but that's not what I'm talking about. Rather, the character of the Lord Jesus, the fruit of the Spirit, Galatians 5, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. That is the person of the Lord Jesus lived out through the believer by the Holy Spirit of God. And when you have on Christ, you are expressing who you really are. You're saying, I belong to Him. This morning when I got up, before I ever put my work clothes on, I put on the Lord Jesus. I put on the Lord Jesus. Consciously, I thought about that. Lord Jesus, I want You today to show through me in the workplace, in my home, wherever I am, whatever my job is, Lord, I want You to be seen. And Lord, that is so hard. But Lord, You're willing to do it. Is I yield to You. And the result of that should be, among other things, the result of that should be integrity. As I represent the Lord Jesus, integrity should be seen in the effort I give to my job. In all of my financial dealings, in everything that I say, in the way that I act, in the way that I use my time, as I express my new self on the job, integrity should be seen. So the question is, do we wear the Lord Jesus to work? Or do we leave Him at home? Or do we even leave Him here in this building when we leave here? If we know the Lord Jesus, and we read that He is our life, Colossians chapter 3, a chapter that also talks to servants about their attitude toward their masters, and also speaks of putting on the new man. He is your life. So if I'm not wearing Him, I'm not being honest, I'm not expressing my new job self. Well, let's hurry on as we think of another way that we can worship more, worship God more in our job, and that's to embrace your job environment. How would you describe your job environment? You might think about the way the building is set up, or the colors of the walls, or the temperature setting. Or maybe you think of a general feeling that's associated with being in that job. Many companies today are recognizing the value of a work environment that encourages employees to be the most productive and also the most satisfied over a long period of time. You might be saying, hey, not my company. They don't care about the work environment. Maybe not, but you probably are impacted and influenced by your work environment. I want to encourage you this morning that whether your job environment in your mind, from your perspective, is a positive one or a negative one or even a neutral one, I want to encourage you to embrace that. Why? Because God is using the environment in which you work, whether it's a part-time job, a full-time job, a temporary job, a career, whether it's in your home, whether it's in a place of business, a manufacturing plant, whether it's in an office building, in a school, whether it's in an office, whether it's in the hospital, whether it's in the post office, wherever you are. It may be in your car. It may be in your customer's place of business. But wherever it is, God is purposeful in wanting to use that in your life. He wants to train you. He wants to train you. 2 Corinthians 3:18. But we all, he's speaking of believers there, those who know the Lord Jesus. But we all with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. We are gazing on the glory of the Lord, and God says, I'm transforming you. I'm changing you to be like my Son, the Lord Jesus. And one of the ways I'm going to do that is I'm going to have you in a job environment that is going to give me the opportunity to train you and to shape you. And to whittle off those rough edges and maybe take the hammer and the chisel to knock away that everything that doesn't look like the Lord Jesus. It requires reshaping. It requires retooling. It requires removing and exchanging. Your job environment is a great place for that to happen. And as you think about the toil that's involved in your work, and you think about the hardship that goes along with your company, and you think about the co-workers and the people that you deal with in your job, and you may very quickly be able to see how sandpaper is on the table. And maybe even a skill saw. And God can use that to shape you. To train you, also to test you. As we deal with different people in our work environments and we come up against different situations and pressures on the job, God is using that to test us. How am I going to respond to this difficult situation? It shows what's there. What's in my heart will be brought to the surface in the testing lab of my workplace. It will bring to the surface what is there. And also to testify about you. God is using your job environment to display His working in you to others. He's training you, and then He's testing you, and He's showing you, and He's showing me what's in us that we might yield more greatly to God, that He can shape us even more, and then He can show others what the Lord Jesus looks like. Because there's a good chance that most of the people with whom you work are not sitting under the sound of the Word of God today. Good chance of that. Maybe some of them are, maybe most of them, maybe all of them are. But a good chance in most work environments, not everyone knows the Lord Jesus or even is interested in knowing about Him. But here's my question. Will you embrace the bad as well as the good in your work environment? Knowing that God is using it for your good and His glory. Are you willing to begin to do that if you haven't in the past? To say, Lord, I don't like this job. Lord, I hate this job. Lord, I'm just living for retirement. But Lord, in the meantime, I want to embrace this environment in which You've put me. You've allowed me to be here. And You said that all things work together for good to those who love You and are called according to His purpose. Lord, use it in my life. Two more quickly as we hurry toward the end. Here's another way I want to suggest that we can worship more in our jobs. And that's to engage our job associates. Who are your associates? In your job, think about your job, your co-workers, those who are in authority over you, maybe your immediate supervisor and then up the chain if that's appropriate, subordinates who are under you, your employees or those who report to you, other employees within the company that maybe you don't deal directly with, contractors and subcontractors with your company, different departments within your company. And then there are those who are your customers, your clients, your patients, your students, those with whom you are working. And then, of course, there are possibly suppliers, depending on what kind of business you're in. Those who are supplying your company. There are those who are delivering things to your company and from your company. Who all are you associated with in your job setting? Think about those. Some are close, some are far away. Some you see every day, some you rarely see. Some you only talk to on the phone or send an email to. But who are they? I would suggest that we need to worship God in our jobs by approaching these job associates from God's perspective. From our perspective, some of them we enjoy, some we avoid, some we appreciate, some we endure. But what's God's perspective? He sees them all in one of two groups. It's kind of simplified. The first group is there are those associates in your life, in your job, that are in need of a relationship with God. And we've already talked this morning about how we can have that relationship. It's only by God's grace through faith in His Son, the Lord Jesus, who died for our sins and rose again. And if they don't have a relationship with Him, they need one. They need one because without that relationship, they're on their way to hell, separated from God for all eternity. And they're living this life without the meaning and the purpose that God intended. They're living this life without a relationship with the one who made them and who loves them and who desires to work in them to make them like His Son, the Lord Jesus. He's not willing that they perish. They need a relationship with Him. Mark 16:15, we read that the Lord Jesus commissioned us to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Even those we work with, maybe especially those we work with. Romans 1:14-15. Paul said, I am a debtor both to Greeks and to barbarians, both to the wise and the unwise. So as much as in me is, I'm ready to preach the gospel to you who are in Rome also. I am a debtor. Paul said, I owe it to them. He also told the Romans in Romans 13:8, owe no one anything except to love one another. The most loving thing we can do is to represent the Lord Jesus and speak of Him to our fellow employees and our fellow associates. And then there are others who are in need of growth in that relationship. They know the Lord Jesus is Savior. And here come the one another commands to love one another, to forgive one another, to edify one another, to exhort one another, to care for one another, to bear the burdens of one another, to pray for one another, to comfort one another, to show hospitality to one another, to bear with one another, to serve with one another, to submit to one another, to esteem one another better than ourselves. And believers who are work associates are no exception. No exception. Do you see the importance of seeing your job associates as in need of the gospel? If they're unsaved, they need the gospel for salvation. If they are believers, they need the gospel to help them to grow, to help them to be strengthened, to be built up in the faith. They need you. They need you. As you engage your job associates, will you see the importance of seeing your job associates as in need of the gospel? And finally, I want to encourage you that we can worship more in our jobs by energizing our job skill sets. Energize your job skill set. How do you feel like that your skill set fits your current job? Well, no matter how you answer, think about this. Everything you have is from God. Your natural skills, your acquired skills, the skills in which you are increasing even now through education and practice. So technically, you are managing your skill set for God. It all belongs to Him. 1 Corinthians 4:7, what do you have that you did not receive? Now, Paul originally wrote that in a spiritual context, but we're saying that our jobs are a spiritual context. And everything we have is from God. And since they're from God and they're for God, I should employ them enthusiastically. enthusiastically Colossians 3:23, and whatever you do, whatever you do, not just involved with the local church, not just in ministry opportunities, not even just with your family, but even in your job, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men. Do it heartily with enthusiasm. And as we do that, it'll give us an opportunity to witness. 1 Thessalonians 4, verses 11 and 12 speak of working with our own hands that we might walk properly toward those who were outside and that we may lack nothing. And then also a resource for sharing. As I work, that I might energize, that I might use the skills that God has given to me, even if they're not being used to their full potential in the job in which you currently are. That's not the point. The point is, whatever God has given you to do, and even if you feel like I'm not that good at what I do, God says take what He's given you to do, and you can also use it as a means to generosity. Ephesians 4:28. Labor, working with His hands what is good that He may have something to give him who has need. In Acts 20:35, Paul said that he did that. He said, I worked. Why? Because it's more blessed to give than to receive. That's what the Lord Jesus said. So here's my question. Can you get excited about using your skills to share the gospel and goods? Can you get excited about that? That my job skills, what God has enabled me to do, even if I struggle with it, God is able to use that to help me share the gospel. To give me a venue and a platform for sharing the gospel, and also that I can be generous and share His goods. So I want to encourage you to worship more in your job by working as if your job matters, because it does. Working as if God is your boss, because He is. Working as if you're new, because if you have believed on the Lord Jesus as your Savior, you are. Working as if your environment is beneficial, because it is. Working as if your associates are worth it, because they are. Working as if your skill set has potential, because it does. It does. So how will you seek to worship God more in your job this week and beyond? Close in prayer. David will play just a verse of a hymn. Would you think on these things? Would you think on these things? How will you seek to worship God more in your job this week and beyond? Father, thank You for the abilities You've given to us, the job opportunities that You have presented to us. Lord, some of us hate our jobs. Some of us love our jobs. Some of us endure our jobs. Some of us look forward to our jobs. But Lord, we want to worship You more in our jobs if we know You as Savior. Lord, anybody here who doesn't, may they cry out to You for forgiveness from their sins and be made a new creation. Father, but those of us who know You, may we worship more this week and beyond. And we ask this in the name of Your Son, the Lord Jesus. Amen.